Revelation chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading from verse 16. Revelation chapter 5, starting to read from verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Can I encourage you to have your Bibles open at Galatians and chapter 5? Look at this morning at verses 16 through 25. If you were to put me at the beginning of a World Cup ski run, I would know exactly what to do. It's easy. You let yourself go out of the start gate, and you proceed to ski between the gates or the flags. There is blue spray paint on the course, and it helps to stay within the blue lines. It's easy, you just ski down at about 80 or 90 miles per hour until you ski across the finishing line. Easy. I know exactly what to do. But of course there is a problem, isn't there? It's one thing knowing what to do, it's another thing knowing how to do it. And you all know that if I was to let myself go out of the start gate, that I would probably fall at the first turn and end up with a very serious injury. Oh, I know what to do, it's how to do it that is the problem. Well, we might say something like this when it comes to living a life of freedom. To living the Christian life, the way that God has called us to live it. Last week, we saw that we are not free to indulge in the sinful nature. No, God wants us to live lives that are holy, pure, Christ-like. We saw that we're not free to sin against our neighbour. No, we are to serve our neighbour in love. We saw that we're not free to ignore the moral commands of God, that God would have us uphold such commands. You see, as we said last week, our freedom as Christians is a freedom to live for God. It's freedom to be slaves of righteousness. I think we all know what we need to do. The question is, how do we do it? How do we live these lives that are pleasing in God's sight. Well, I want to say three things this morning. There is on your service sheet, and so you can follow where I'm going. But I want to say three things. Firstly, we must know that it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy living the life that God wants us to live. It would be great, wouldn't it, if it was as easy as breathing. But it's not as easy as breathing. And I suspect that it's not going to get any easier as time goes on. Those of you who are younger, you might like to speak to some of the older Christian brothers and sisters in the church to see what they might say. But I suspect that they would say that it doesn't get any easier living the Christian life. It's a battle. A constant battle. But it's not impossible to live the Christian life with some success. We won't enjoy perfect success this side of eternity, but we can enjoy some success. We can do it. But why is it such a battle? Well, because on one hand we have the Spirit of God, who wants to lead us in the direction of godliness, purity. And on the other hand, we have a sinful nature that desires to lead us in completely the opposite direction. Now, thankfully, it is no longer the dominating, controlling, ruling power over our lives that it once was. But it's still hanging around. And it endeavors to exert its influence. I would liken the sinful nature to a pig, because it desires filth. Paul here calls such filth the acts of the sinful nature. Look at verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, and selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. As we said before, this is not an exhaustive list. So there is a battle that is going on in every Christian life. Look at verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. It's as if we're caught in a tug of war. The sinful nature is pulling one way. The Holy Spirit, who's at work in our lives, is pulling the other way. Let me try to illustrate. Imagine a young man sitting in a waiting room, a doctor's waiting room, or a hospital waiting room, or whatever kind of waiting room it might be. And he picks up a magazine and begins to turn the pages. He comes across an inappropriate picture. His simple nature desires to keep on looking at the picture. And of course, if he does keep on looking at the picture, he will end up lusting over it and committing either adultery or fornication in his mind. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, will gently prompt him to close the magazine, or at the very least, to turn the page in the hope that there is something better and more profitable on the following page. You see, God would have him love, truly love and value women, and not simply view them as objects to gratify the cravings of their sinful nature. Sure, I can give many examples that illustrate this, but it just highlights one particular way in which we find ourselves caught up in this conflict, this battle. So, friends, if we're going to avoid sin and live for God, we must first recognize that it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be a battle right up until the end of our days here on earth. Secondly, though, this morning, I want to say this. Paul would want to say this. We must remember that we have crucified the sinful nature. We must remember that we have crucified the sinful nature. Now, normally, when we're in church and we talk about crucifixion, we're thinking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. But my conviction is this, that when Paul here speaks about crucifying the sinful nature in verse 24, he's talking about something that we as believers have done in the past. You read verse 24 too. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So what does Paul mean when he says this? What exactly is he talking about? Well, he's talking about what we did when we were converted. When we became Christians, what did we do? Well, by the grace of God, we repented. That is, we turned away from sin. We resolved to say no to it. To have nothing to do with it anymore. And it was as if we took our sinful nature and nailed it to the cross, turned our, not to the cross, to a cross, sorry, you just found by what I said there. It was as if we took our sinful nature to a cross and then turned our back upon it, only to leave it to die a slow death. And when we did that, it was as if we said, I'm not going to entertain you anymore. That's what Christian repentance amounts to. Of course, the sinful nature will still try to exert itself. We're all aware that it still tries to exert itself. But when it exerts its evil desires, and they may at times be very strong, we must always remember that we have crucified the sinful nature. We've repented of it. We've said no to it. We've turned our back upon it. Every time the sinful nature seeks to exert itself, not only do we remind ourselves that we have crucified it, nailed it to a cross, we renew our commitment to say no to it. The trouble is, we're so often willing to entertain it again, to allow it to have sway in our lives, especially when we're feeling a bit down, a bit discouraged, a bit low. We want something to excite us or comfort us, help us see our way through the hours to come. Secondly, we must remember that we've crucified the sinful nature. And thirdly, we spend most of our time here, we must live by the Spirit. As Christians, we have all received the Holy Spirit. And we are to live every day by the Spirit. From these verses, we can see that living by the Spirit is the secret to not gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Living by the Spirit is also the secret to loving our neighbour and living a life that pleases God. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, etc., etc. We must all live by the Spirit. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we live by the Spirit? What does it involve? Well, I would argue that it involves two things. Firstly, allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit. If you look at verse 18, you'll see that Paul speaks there about being led by the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, he said. You might like to think of a child, of his or her first day of school. And walks into school with a little boy or a little girl. And their new teacher is waiting there in the playground. And the teacher invites the little girl or the little boy to take hold of their hand so that they might be led to their new classroom. Now the little boy or the little girl kind of refused to let go of mum's hand. Or he or she can allow themselves to be led by the teacher. Well, friends, we are to allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. This means that we are to yield to his control or influence over our lives. And we will find that he gently asserts his desires over and against the desires of the sinful nature. We might call this the prompting of the Spirit. And when we experience this, we must say yes to him. John Stott, in commentating on these verses, writes, "He puts his gentle passion on us, and we must yield to his direction and control." So we must live by the Spirit. How are we to live by the Spirit? Well, it involves allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit, yielding to his control. Secondly, these two things are really quite similar, we must keep in step with the Spirit. Or to put it another way, we must walk with the Spirit. Look at verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's go back for a moment to the illustration of the boy or poor girl going to school for the very first time. It's not enough for the little boy or the little girl to be willing to be led by the teacher. They must actually let go of mum's hand. Take hold of the teacher's hand and walk with the teacher to the new classroom. But it's not enough to be willing. We've got to walk. We've got to keep in step with the Spirit. We've got to go the way that the Spirit would have us go. Now at this point I'd like to ask two questions. Firstly, how do I know it is the Spirit leading, directing, prompting, or speaking to me? How do I know it is the Spirit that's prompting me, speaking to me, leading me, directing me? Well, let me say a couple of things in response to this question. The Holy Spirit will always lead us the way of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Paul says here, there is no law against these things. These things are of God. These things are of the Spirit. They are what he produces in the lives of believers. But I also want to say that the Spirit will always lead us in accordance with his word. Why not? And never contrary to it. Never contrary to it. And I think that this is probably very important to say in the light of what we read in verse 22. You see, it may be that a person chooses to have sexual relations with another person outside of marriage. And argue that it is an act of love. But friends, it won't do to argue that this kind of behavior is of the Spirit on the grounds that it is loving. You see, this kind of so-called love is not of God. It amounts to sexual immorality, either adultery or fornication. It is an act of the sinful nature, verse 19. And the reason why I emphasize this is because I believe that we're living in a time when our society is so confused about what true love really is. Let me give another example to highlight. That's all I'm really seeking to do by giving this example. Let me give another example to highlight how confused the society that we now live in is about love. Love is using the rod when a child is naughty. Now, maybe this morning there's some of you who disagree with me. I know that there'll be lots of people in St. Louis of Crockett Hill who disagree with me. We live in a society today that would consider smacking a child to amount to cruelty or even child abuse. But let me read to you what the Word of God says, Proverbs 13, verse 24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Now I suppose I'm purposely being a little bit provocative in giving such an illustration, but I'm endeavouring to make a point where we need to learn what love is by seeing how the Bible defines love. We need to be reading the Bible in order to determine the way in which God would have love displayed. Perhaps I can leave you with what Paul says about love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. How do I know whether it is the Holy Spirit leading me, prompting me, directing me? Well, we can see from verse 22 that he directs in the way of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, etc., etc., and always in accordance with his word. So I've got another question to ask. This is the question: what will help me to live? Spirit. Well, you told us this morning, Mark, that we need to live by the Spirit. It's the only way to live in order to please God. But how? How do I live by the Spirit? Help us to live by the Spirit. Well, let me tell you what will help you to live by the Spirit. Firstly, endeavor to keep good company. Endeavor to keep good company. Make sure that you're receiving Christian fellowship. Because when we are with other believers, we spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 10, verse 27. That's the first thing to say. Keep good company. Secondly, prayer. Well, you would expect me to say that, wouldn't you? And it's so important. We need to be asking God to help us to yield to the Holy Spirit. To fill us with His Spirit day by day, so that we might live for God and put to death the misdeeds of the body. We need to keep good company. We need to pray. We need to read and meditate upon Holy Scripture. You see, the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with His Word. He uses His Word to lead, direct, warn, encourage, and motivate us. We need to make sure that we are reading the Scriptures each day. We need to make sure that we're listening regularly to the Word of God being expounded. This is how the Spirit of God speaks to us. Fourthly and lastly, I'm sure there could have been other things said, we are to avoid going to places and keeping the kind of company that will tempt us and make it harder to resist the sinful nature. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, bad company corrupts good character. How do we live a life of freedom? How do we live a life for God and not according to the sinful nature? Well, firstly, we must recognize that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a battle. So prepare yourself for the fight. Secondly, we must remember that we have crucified the flesh, that we've repented, that we've resolved to leave behind our life of sins and not live according to the sinful nature anymore. And by God's grace, we need to renew that commitment every day. And then thirdly, live by the Spirit, which means being led by the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit. Doing all that we can to make sure that that happens. Steve Brady, in his commentary on Galatians, tells the story of a father telling his son what a Christian is and how Christians behave. Son, he says, Christians never lie, steal or cheat. They are so full of love and goodness, joy and peace. They never lose their temper and are always kind and forgiving. As he carried on with his description, the little boy's eyes grew wider and wider. When his dad finished, the boy exclaimed, that's fantastic, Dad. Have I ever seen a Christian? I trust we all recognize that we shall never be perfect as Christians this side of eternity. But let us pray that the fruit of the Spirit might be evident in our lives so that others are able to see what it really does mean to be a Christian. So Paul exhorts us not to live according to the simple nature. He exhorts us to live according to the Spirit. We've been given the Spirit in order that we might live a life that is pleasing to God. May God give us the grace we need to help us to live by the Spirit. That's right. Lord, we thank you that we have been set free from the curse of the law, that we have been set free from the guilt of sin, and indeed the power of sin. Such freedom, as you have reminded us in recent days, is not an excuse to engage in all kinds of sins. So it is your will that we might live a life of love and obedience towards you. You have given us the Holy Spirit in order that we might be enabled to live the life of freedom that you would have us live. Help us then each day to resolve within our own minds that we will not live according to the sinful nature, recognizing that we have indeed turned from our sin, repented of our sin. Help us to live in the power of your Spirit, in that resurrection power of the Lord Jesus, in order that we might live lives that are lovely lives that display the fruits of your Holy Spirit. Well, we know that we're not going to be able to do this perfectly. But help us, Lord, to make every effort to live the way that you would have us live, for your glory and your honour, and to challenge those who observe the way that we live our Christian lives day by day. We ask these things in Jesus' name for his sake.